It's good to be sharing communion with you today, and it seems to have attracted a larger number of people than have been gathering for worship over the past few weeks, which is lovely to celebrate. But communion is something meant to bring people together, and yet we're still apart. In communion, we should see the radiant glory of the human face made in the image of God, transformed by the Spirit to reveal Christ's glory to the world, and yet the wearing of masks blanks that face off. In these days, we're reticent about touch, but communion is about bodies, the body of Christ, Christ coming into our bodies, reaching out to touch, to welcome, to love. And communion is a gathering, a congregation, a coming together. While many of us are physically here in St. Michael's, and in these times, many of our brothers and sisters are at home. A funny kind of communion. And as a priest, I have to be very careful about not touching your hands when I administer the communion, and not touching the vessels, and keeping myself clean. While I should be relating to you, praying for you, loving you, I find myself worrying about the regulations. And last of all, and perhaps greatest of all, is the cup that sits on the altar. The cup which Jesus says, drink ye all of this. And yet in these times, for those who wish, I will dip a wafer so that you can receive the tiniest bit of wine. And then at the end of the communion, because someone has to, it falls to me to actually drink from the cup. The cup that should be the cup of blessing, the cup of joy, the cup that tells us we are all in this together, all in Christ's love, all in Christ's kingdom together. That cup is denied. And as I drink it week by week, I thank God for his salvation, but I feel a tremendous pain. Now, we know why communion is different in these days. We understand why such measures are in place. But they have changed things. They have made us focus, I would argue, on a kind of purity. Purity is the notion that other human bodies might be dangerous to us, that other human flesh or even other human breath could be contaminated and contaminate us, and so constitute a threat which we must avoid. Many religions have a focus on purity, and so practices and rituals come into place to keep worshippers pure. The cleansing of hands, the ventilation of air, the cleaning of surfaces, and above all, purity religions rely on distancing. You avoid the touch of people who might be dangerous. You don't want to touch their bodies or touch things that other bodies have touched. Holy Communion is different. Some would say damaged, when considerations of purity are high in our minds. And of course, purity is something that has been touching all of our cultural ways of being and relating. And I was going to talk about how purity regimes have inordinate scope for hypocrisy, but thankfully Matt Hancock did the decent thing yesterday, so you've been spared a paragraph of my sermon. We can understand where these choices, these measures, this mentality comes from. In a strange and imperfect world, there are dangers, there are threats, and it is sensible to do simple things to keep us not completely safe, but safer. However, there is a tension here, particularly for Christians. There is a tension for people who read Gospels like the passage we heard this morning. For what does Jesus do in that story from St. Mark? Well, he takes the term purity and he tramples all over it. He grabs the purity rule book and he tears out the pages and he throws them in the air. And he's done this several times already in the gospel narrative. You see, if you're a rabbi in first century Judea, what do you do when you see a leper? You stand away from them. What does Jesus do? He lays on hands and he heals them. You're a rabbi in first century Judea and you see some children. You don't know where they've been, what they've touched, what they've been up to. They look mucky. You stand away from them. But what does Jesus do? He lifts them up into his arms. He lays his hands upon them. You're a rabbi in first century Judea, a purity culture, and a woman grabs you who's been suffering from a flow of blood for 12 years. She's been in self-isolation for more than a decade because no one will go near her and she knows she must encounter nobody else. You're a rabbi and she grabs your cloak. What do? Probably tell her off and rush off to clean yourself up. What does Jesus do? He praises her for her faith. He rejoices that his power has been released and made her whole and made her well. How does it happen that Jesus behaves in this outrageous, purity-confounding, revolutionary way? Well, he has a power of holiness within him that surges out from inside and sanctifies everything that's impure. Normally, if you touch something or someone who is impure, then that impurity invades you and you become defiled. But with Jesus, it's the other way round. He touches something or someone which is impure, and his holiness infects them. The power of his sanctity invades the other, that they may be healed, saved, made alive. Jesus tears up the purity rule book as he touches the world with the finger of God. And the good news of gospel is that that finger can touch us, transform us, sanctify us, heal us, save us, even today. And the good news of gospel is that we might find that power of Jesus sanctifying us through his sacraments, through the Holy Communion. Holy Communion has never been, will never be completely without earthly risk. In 2019, if you'd come here at 10 o'clock, you would breathe in air that somebody else might have coughed or sneezed into. At the peace, you might perhaps touch the hands of someone who was actually coming down with flu. You could have shared the communion cup with someone else who was carrying some kind of bacteria. Incarnate human interaction will never be entirely safe. There is a risk, however minimal, for being together in the way we are today. But this incarnate human interaction, blessed by God's presence, imbued by his power, radiant with his sanctity, might be a way that Jesus saves us. might be a way in which he bursts into the world, breaking down the barriers which purity often erects. It might be a way in which his healing, purifying, cleansing, strengthening grace and holiness flows into the world with new life. I know I need to trust more deeply in the radical salvation that comes from God. I wonder, do you? I know I need to cast away any mythical or superstitious belief that a mask or a lockdown or a government or even someone like Chris Whitty can save me. I need to dispose of any delusion that I can be guaranteed a passage through this life immune from illness, pain, suffering, let alone death. And so I hope, at the right time, for a fuller, freer, more faithful form of Holy Communion, to help me encounter that grace one day. I hope, I pray, I long that one day when I drink up the cup at the end of the distribution, I will have shared it with brothers and sisters as a cup of faith, a cup of joy, a cup of blessing, a cup to sustain us through times which are always a bit dangerous. And though there'll be a tiny chance that that might do me some earthly harm, I pray I'll trust that such risk will be vastly overwhelmed by its heavenly blessing. That the cup of salvation may be a sign that we are all one in Christ Jesus and can never be separated from him or from each other. A symbol of the faith that makes us whole, whatever events history presents us. A trust that whatever he leads us through in life, Jesus offers us grace. He covers all our sins. He alone makes us pure. He heals all our infirmities. He gives us life, for his power is greater than death.